Warning, warning, the NFL schedule is about to be released.
Well, you probably know where your team's playing a bunch of times this year and what cities you're already going to, because a lot of it already did get leaked out throughout the day, or the NFL just announced individual games. Like, we found out the first game of the season is going to be the Detroit Lions going up against the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead. I thought that was a mistake by the NFL. Nothing against Detroit, but instead of putting the Miami Dolphins and Chiefs in Germany, put Tyreek Hill back in Arrowhead Stadium as a member of the Dolphins up against the Chiefs to open up the season. That's what I would have done. So when we get the entire schedule, like the Thursday night football schedule, the Sunday night football schedule, all the primetime games Monday night, we'll talk about it throughout the show. We're just waiting for that to officially drop. But Hickey, give me some NFL music if you don't mind, because I want to do a little draft here as we get set to see the entire schedule. I want to do five storylines each that we get that we're going to draft for the top NFL storylines entering this season. I'll start things off. I'm going to start things off with Aaron Rodgers. Has a new team, a new home. He's now a member of Gang Green with the JTS Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm going to use a term that you use a lot. What's the ceiling? And that's what I want to know. I want to know, what is the ceiling for Aaron Rodgers in New York? And how is this season going to end for the Jets? Right now, I would think they're going to be a wild card team. They'll be able to compete for that division alongside Buffalo and also Miami. Notice I did not say my team, the New England Patriots, because I don't think the Patriots have a chance to win the division this year. But right now, I view the Jets as a wild card team and a team with that defense and that quarterback. Even though I don't love Rodgers in the postseason, you're not going to want to face them come postseason time. But right now, I still have three teams better than them in the AFC, just for starters, in no order: Chiefs, Bengals, and also the Buffalo Bills. And then you have the Jets right now in that same category as the Jaguars and the Chargers, and probably also the Ravens as well when you throw together those teams. But for now, I would put the Jets as the fourth best team in the AFC, the Jaguars as the fifth, and I put the Chargers in at six. That would be my ranking right now. But I want to see with Rodgers, what's the ceiling for him this year? That's the biggest storyline for me.
I will stick with the quarterback theme. The 49ers quarterback situation. What the hell is going to go on? How is it going to play out? When will Brock Purdy be healthy? Will Trey Lance be the week one starter? If so, how will Trey Lance look? If he's not the starter, if it's Sam Darnold, how is Sam Darnold looking? I think this team's going to have success no matter who their quarterback is, but I am very intrigued to see who the quarterback is. And if Brock Purdy doesn't start the year, do they ride the hot hand? If it's Trey Lance playing for the first month well and then Brock Purdy's healthy, do you make the move back to the guy in five starts played well? Or do you ride the hot hand and keep the guy who's playing well in there now?
And to be clear, I wasn't booing your storyline. I was just booing Sam Darnold because I'm already sick of the Sam Darnold talk. You said something. You believe they're going to be successful regardless of the quarterback. Successful to what extent? Because we've seen this team, regardless of the quarterback, consistently be in the NFC title game. But for success this year, for me with the 49ers, they are one of the teams in the NFL on the short list of teams that is truly Super Bowl or bust. So how do you define success for the Niners this year, regardless of the QB?
Well, definitely say making the playoffs again, being one of, you know, top two team in the NFC, like kind of back where they were last year, I'd say bare minimum, and then see what happens, you know, in the game.
Yeah, the only way that I say that this is a successful year for the 49ers, if they're standing on top of the podium in Las Vegas with the Super Bowl trophy, because I think it has been ridiculous how a team that talented still has not been able to make you feel any good about who the quarterback is. And I think until they figure out the certainty at quarterback that they're not going to win a Super Bowl. Even, like, I know that they're going into this year, oh, we can win with anybody. It doesn't matter. Eventually we'll get Brock Purdy back. May not be Trey Lance week one. It may be Sam Darnold. You need to know what you're getting out of your quarterback. And until they get that, I'm still going to be skeptical of the 49ers. All right, next storyline. So I take Rodgers, you go with the 49ers QB. Two good storylines off the board. I'm going to combine two storylines into one because I think they're very similar. I want to see what Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson do this year, because they were two big trades a year ago. Russell Wilson played the entire season, was a disaster. Now Sean Payton is coming in to be his head coach. And for Deshaun Watson, because of the suspension, we didn't get to see him until the end of the season. And it just seemed like a whole mess. And it seemed like he had a lot of rust to knock off. And they went away from Nick Chubb too much, which just made zero sense. I want to see in year two what Watson and Wilson will do this year in the NFL in their new homes with the Cleveland Browns and also the Denver Broncos.
I would like to see Tua's health. Can he stay healthy for, I mean, I'll go even 13 games at this point. Please, at four, it's still, I think, a win. Can you be healthy for the playoffs? And can you pick up and improve from where you were last year? When Tua was healthy, he was good. His offense was good. It was hard to stop. He had a lot of success in Mike McDaniel's system in year number one. Can you stay healthy? And then once you're on the field, can you build off of a solid 2022 season?
I think the way that you said that in the middle of it, when we were saying how many games could you get Tua there, and then you said, can he be ready for the playoffs? That's the big thing. When the Dolphins are in the playoffs, can they have Tua Tagovailoa healthy? Like, if he has to miss 3-4 games of the regular season, not ideal, but so be it. But you need him in the postseason, because last year we saw that team go to Buffalo with the third-string quarterback in Skylar Thompson and nearly win the damn game. So I got to see Tua Tagovailoa healthy for the playoffs. All righty. My next storyline. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. They were everyone's pick to go win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC a year ago. Can Buffalo get through that gauntlet of the AFC with the Chiefs, with the Bengals, with the Jets, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Ravens? You go on and on and on as you list out all those teams. Can the Bills do what they failed to do a year ago, and that's get to a Super Bowl and play on Super Bowl Sunday and try to win that Lombardi trophy?
How will the rookie quarterbacks play and develop in year number one? I'm very excited and very bullish on Bryce Young in Carolina. I think he can have success right away. C.J. Stroud, how will he develop, especially with the weapons with the Texans are far worse than what he had at Ohio State. How will Anthony Richardson develop and progress throughout his entire first year? I think the quarterbacks, especially those three, to me are very intriguing, and that's definitely a major storyline everyone I think will be following this year.
Okay, my next storyline, it's kind of in line with my first one, but to me it's very intriguing. What is Jordan Love? I need to know what Jordan Love is this year. All we've heard about him the last 3 years was all, okay, he's the guy that's eventually going to replace Rodgers, and Rodgers got the deal last year. Oh, now he's not going to replace Rodgers, but now he is. I know he played well in that limited time up against the Eagles, and Darius Big Play Slay gave him a bunch of praise. But I want to see what Jordan Love looks like throughout this entire season. So far, Rodgers, what's the ceiling for him? I have Watson, Wilson. Will they bounce back? The Buffalo Bills, can they get the job done? And what is Jordan Love? Hickey so far, what the heck's going to happen with the 49ers QB? Will Tua be healthy? And then Hickey's also looking at the rookies quarterback. Quarterbacks. Make your fourth selection.
My fourth storyline, I think, we'll be paying attention to a ton this year. Lamar Jackson. The guy got paid. Now can you deliver? He's been forced off the field 2 years in a row because of injuries. You got the big contract when the Ravens kind of dragging their feet. They got you Odell Beckham Jr. They got you Zay Flowers. You have Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews there. Can now the Ravens live up to their potential? And can Lamar Jackson live up to now his contract and be one of the best MVP-like quarterbacks that we saw him be in the past but have not seen him be in recent memory?
Okay. I will go back to the QB well on this one. Maybe a deal gets done this offseason that's been talked about before. But if it doesn't, at the end of the year, he'll have 1 year left on the contract before becoming a free agent in 2025. We've seen Dak the last 2 years get hurt, but we've seen him available for the playoffs with the Cowboys team that's had double-digit wins. And up against the 49ers 2 years ago, they couldn't snap the ball. And then up against the 49ers last year, he wasn't able to get the job done when his defense gave him a championship effort. So I want to see if this is the year that Dak can finally do some damage in the playoffs. That's my fifth and final storyline. Yours?
The last one I'll go with is kind of off the beaten path a little bit, but I'm just more confused and intrigued personally and selfishly. What the hell are the Rams going to be in 2023? I have no idea. They're running it back with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford's healthy. And
that's what they're going to be.
Aaron Donald, you know, claims he can't retire after that brutal 2022 season. You got Cooper Kupp. Like, there's still talent on this team without a doubt. You trade Jalen Ramsey, but I mean, if you say right now they're 5-11 or 11-5, I would believe either one. I have no idea what the Rams are. I have zero read on them whatsoever. And I'm intrigued to see kind of how they bounce back after what was a disastrous 2022 season.
Well, let me just do a quick little exercise. I'm going to give you a team. You tell me if you take them or the Rams. Eagles or the Rams?
Rams.
You're kidding.
Yes. That was not a question needed. Eagles, 49ers.
Stop. I'm doing this for a reason.
Okay.
Just give me the teams here. Just answer the question.
Answering the questions, Eagles, in all seriousness.
Well, you never know with you. You also said last year the Rams are the easiest path to get back to a Super Bowl ever. So.
They did, and they blew it.
Cowboys or Rams? Who do you trust more?
I will take the Cowboys right now.
Giants or Rams heading into this season?
Jeez. Giants barely. I'll give them credit.
Commanders or Rams?
Rams.
Okay. Vikings or Rams?
I would go with the Rams.
Wow.
I do not trust the Vikings. I do not. They are due for a big-time drawback.
All right. Vikings fans, you've officially clinched the postseason. Lions or Rams?
Lions.
Packers or Rams?
I will go with the Rams.
Bears or Rams?
Rams.
Tampa Bay or the Rams?
Rams. Sorry,
Panthers
Baker.
Or the Rams?
Rams.
Saints or the Rams?
Rams.
All right, I would disagree on that one. Falcons or the Rams?
Rams.
Niners or the Rams?
Niners.
Seahawks or the Rams?
Seahawks.
That's not that tough.
I don't trust Geno Smith.
Oh, but come on, that roster's so much better. Oh, that's terrible.
Their roster is better, but I do not think Geno's prime for another big 2023.
Seahawks fans, congratulations. You just punch your berth to the playoffs one more time. Punch your ticket. Cardinals or Rams?
Rams.
So you only gave me six teams. So you have the Rams fighting for that seventh wild card spot, and that was without having the Vikings on that list. The NFC's weak. I understand that. The two great teams on paper, the Eagles and 49ers, but I just... That Rams team, I can't trust them for this reason. It seems like there's too much one foot in, one foot out. Bobby Wagner even told you, I didn't want to be a part of this anymore. I want to go to a team that actually could go win. And also, you have a lot of guys coming back from injury. And that's not easy to do. So I think it's a lot more likely that the Rams miss the playoffs this year than make the playoffs, even in a pretty open NFC. All right, let me just throw a few more storylines at you that didn't make the cut here. You tell me the level of intrigue. Bengals getting the job done. Last 2 years, got to a Super Bowl, got to an AFC title game. With this young core, not having to give up the contracts yet, can they go get a Super Bowl ring this year, I think is a big storyline.
I got a 10. I said it's like a 4.
Brandon Staley. I think Brandon Staley is a big storyline. Because remember, the Broncos went out and got Sean Payton. We all know Sean was imploring people to get hired by the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers said, we're sticking with Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley's got to go win a playoff game this year. And I think it's a big storyline because you have enough talent in Los Angeles in order to win.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 7.5, 8. That's every win is going to be a feather in the cap of Staley. Every loss is going to be reason why he's going to be fired.
Geno, Goff, and Danny Dimes. All three played well last year. You had two of the three get paid. Maybe Goff is going to get paid. What does a year after success look like for them? And how close or how much better can they actually be than the quarterbacks that they were a year ago?
9 on the scale, right, out of 10. Lions expectations, Seahawks expectations, Giants expectations. Big storyline.
And I'll give you one final one. He's going to get honored. First game of the year, and it's reportedly Patriots and Eagles in Foxborough. Is there any way Tom Brady goes back on his retirement once again if the Dolphins have an injury or if the 49ers quarterback situation is a bleep show? Could you see a return of Tom Brady?
It will be a storyline up until probably both teams are eliminated, right? Because Tua you can't trust. The 49ers are going through quarterbacks like the sun goes up and down. So until they are out of the playoffs, right, there will be always be a storyline?
Until he sits out a full year, it's always a storyline. And we'll see if he sits out this entire year. All right, he schedules out. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll react to it next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So the NFL schedule is out. We'll go through the primetime games right now. Here is your Monday Night Football schedule for this year. It starts things off on September 11th, Monday Night Football, Bills at the Jets, Hickey. You get Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers' first game of the season. That's a lot of pressure on the Jets in a new spot. You beat Buffalo once last year when Zach Wilson was your quarterback. Now you get Aaron Rodgers to be that missing piece. In front of your home crowd, too, that's a fun first Monday Night Football game of the season with Aikman and Buck.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All eyes have been Aaron Rodgers, and Jets fans, I'm sure, already counting down the days.
We'll keep things moving. Week two, you have a doubleheader. You have Saints, Panthers, Browns, Steelers. Browns, Steelers is a good game. You get Deshaun Watson up against Kenny Pickett. I think the Steelers are actually going to be a playoff contender this year. Saints, Panthers, assuming Bryce Young is playing, then there's intrigue. If it's Andy Dalton, who used to be the Saints quarterback, up against the Saints with Derek Carr, I could live without that one. Eagles and Bucks, week three. The Bucks are not a draw to me this year because Baker Mayfield's now their quarterback. But you do get a Super Bowl rematch from 2 years ago as a doubleheader in week three between the Rams and the Bengals. But once again, we don't know what the heck the Rams are going to be. Week four, Falcons and Jaguars. All right, appeal with Trevor Lawrence. The Falcons have a lot of speedsters on that offensive side of the ball, but not like the Falcons are a team that I got to see in a national primetime game. Seahawks and Giants. That's going to be Monday Night Football as well. That's actually intriguing. You know what I don't get here? Hickey, it says, as I'm reading through this, it says October 1st, week four. Oh, it's an ESPN exclusive game. So I guess that they're going to have one on a Sunday, and then the Monday night game that week, which is October 2nd, is going to be Seahawks and Giants. So it must be something different where they, in their new TV deal, they get a game on a Sunday.
Oh, is that probably London? Probably London. They'll do an ESPN Plus game. Like last year was the Broncos.
It's because it's back to back. The Jaguars are there weeks four and weeks
and
five.
Yeah,
gotcha. So that's an ESPN exclusive game. Let's keep it moving on just the Monday Night Football schedule. Seahawks Giants should be a good one. You get Packers and Raiders week five. I don't know what the Raiders are going to be, but you have Devontae Adams up against the Packers. No Aaron Rodgers there, so we get to see Jordan Love in a primetime spot. Week six. Here's maybe the best one yet outside of Bills and Jets. Monday Night Football, you get the Cowboys and the Chargers. Week seven, Niners-Vikings. Week eight, Monday Night Football, Raiders and Lions. Lions, that's juicy. Raiders, we got to see what they're going to be. Week nine, Chargers and Jets. So once again, Aaron Rodgers up against Herbert. Week 10, you get the Broncos up against the Bills. Week 11, oh, that's a great Monday Night Football game. Rematch of the Super Bowl, Hickey. At Arrowhead, Eagles and Chiefs. Enormous.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that.
Week 12, Bears and Vikings. Week 13, Bengals and Jaguars. That's underratedly a very good game. Burrow up against Lawrence. Week 14, you are supposed to have a doubleheader. This is Tennessee against Miami. And you also do have the Packers up against the Giants. By the way, I mentioned the Packers now. This is just a Monday Night Football schedule twice. Are the Packers a draw for you this year? For me, they are. And I don't know if they're going to be any good, but I just want to see what Jordan Love can do on a big stage. And when you're just seeing him at a 1 o'clock game, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle of the 7 or 8 games. When you get him in that isolated window on a Monday night spot, a Thursday night spot, or a Sunday night spot, I still think the Packers are a draw.
A little bit, like once maybe or twice a Thursday night and a Monday night. Okay, they have a lot of primetime games, and to me that's too much.
And this is already two on Monday Night Football. And neither of these games are at Lambeau Field, which is also like another thing from a TV side to go put the Packers on one of those primetime games. Chiefs and Patriots, week 15, Monday Night Football. You will also have week 16. This is Christmas Day. You do have the Ravens and the 49ers. And that, there's a triple header on Christmas Day. I'll give you the triple header right now. Raiders, Chiefs, fun. Divisional game. Giants, Eagles, fun. Ravens, 49ers, the non-divisional game out of the triple header. And if the 49ers can figure out their quarterback position, you still always know they're going to be in it. But then the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, if he's healthy, that's going to be a ton of fun. And then you will have week 17. You will get the Lions going up against the Dallas Cowboys in week 17. And then in week 18, it says to be determined. Let me just check the date on this. I want to make sure that it's a Monday here. But it says a doubleheader.
Probably Saturday.
That's what I would assume as well. January 6th. Yeah, it is a Saturday. So you get one of those games on a Saturday. I was going to say Monday to end up the year. That wouldn't really make sense to me. Okay. Sunday night football schedule. They open up the year Thursday night Lions Chiefs. I thought it should have been the Dolphins. Week one, Sunday night football schedule. Cowboys Giants. Week two, Dolphins Patriots. Week three, Steelers Raiders. Week four, oh, this is a great one. Mahomes Rodgers. And I think I read that's the Jets' first Sunday night football game since 2011, Hickey. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. Why would the Jets be at home but it's for still the a New York Sunday market. Night game? They stink.
I know, but still, the New York market TV, you would have thought that they would have at least have had a Sunday night football game. But yeah, first time, according to Brian Costello, who covers the Jets, that the Jets have a Sunday night football game since 2011. My, oh my. That's really something. That I know the Jets stink, and they did stink, but that's stunning. Cowboys 49ers, heck of an early season game week 5. Giants Bills week 6, Sunday night football in Buffalo. Week 7, if Tua is healthy, you get Alabama quarterbacks battling out with Tua Tagovailoa up against Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Week 8, little primetime love for the Bears up against the Chargers. Week 9, wow, although they go back to Cincinnati this year, that is Buffalo and the Bengals. Jets Raiders week 10. Vikings Broncos week 11. This is Sunday night football. Thanksgiving night game, Niners and Seahawks week 12. Ravens and Chargers week 13. You get the Chiefs and the Packers. So you get Jordan Love up against Patrick Mahomes week 14. Eagles Cowboys, that should be a bloodbath. Week 15, Ravens Jaguars, that could be fun. Week 16, Bengals Steelers. Week 16 as well, you have the Bills and the Chargers. Week 17, Packers and Vikings, and then flexing. We'll see what happens in week 18. That's a killer. That is an absolute killer. Like, we went through the Monday night football schedule. It was good. The Sunday night football schedule. I know we're going to read through the Thursday night in just a second, but it's going to be tough to find a slate of games better than that. Here's Thursday night. You think Al Michaels will be happy that he's still doing these Amazon games? Because last year he was miserable.
We're about to find out. Well, I can't blame him. They had some bad games.
Week two, the first Thursday night game. Now, this has blowout potential because whenever the Vikings go to Philadelphia, outside of that Linval Joseph game, it seems like the Vikings get blown out when he was huffing and puffing on the sideline after scoring a touchdown and needed the oxygen. But remember, last year they got blown out. The NFC title game, they got blown out as well. So Vikings and Eagles is the matchup. Giants Niners week 3, Lions Packers week 4. You're right. The Packers have so many primetime games. So, the NFL banking on Jordan Love. Bears and Commanders. Isn't that one if you're Al Michaels where you're like, "Okay, you got Fields. I don't think Sam Howell is going to be all that good even though the Commanders have a good roster." That's when you may want to take off.
I forget if it was Monday night or Thursday night last year, Bears Commanders, where it was Justin Fields versus Carson Wentz and maybe one of the worst offensive.
I think that was a Thursday night.
It was Thursday
night
because it was right after
the
Broncos.
Like 11-9 or whatever it was.
12-9.
12-9.
Field goal kickers were busy that day.
They went back to the well on that. Okay. Week 6, Al probably has just PTSD at this point, whenever you see the Broncos in a game, right? Because he had a lot. I feel like they had a lot of Broncos games early on to start the season. But it is Broncos and Chiefs week 6 on Thursday night. Jaguars Saints week 7, week 8. Bucks and Bills, that should be a blowout. Tennessee Steelers week 9. Week 10, Panthers and Bears. Week 11, Bengals and Ravens. That's always going to be a good game, probably like a 23-20 fun game. Black Friday, you have the Dolphins and the Jets. Week 13, you have the Seahawks and the Cowboys. Week 14, Thursday Night Love for the Steelers hosting the Patriots. Week 15, Chargers going to the Raiders. Week 16, the Saints going to the Rams. And week 17, the Jets going to the Browns. So that's pretty much what you need to know with the big primetime scheduling. You start off the year getting Lions going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. We just went through the entire Sunday, Thursday, and Monday night schedule. And real quickly before we get to the break and get to Leroy Horde, when is the Bengals-Chiefs game? Did we get that yet?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
4:25.
That's right. 4:25 Eastern. On New Year's Eve, so that's always one of note. A lot of primetime games for Rodgers and the Jets. Not surprising. A lot of primetime games for the Packers. A little bit surprising, but I do find the Packers to be a draw. We'll talk some NFL next with former NFL running back Leroy Horde.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, the NFL schedule is out. Let's chat a little football right now with one of our pals who played in the NFL for a bunch of years, made the Pro Bowl in 1994, did play his college ball at Michigan, now does a radio show on WQAM in Florida, and that, of course, is Leroy Horde. Leroy, how you been?
What's happening? What's going on?
I'm just relaxing, you know, planning all the road trips that hopefully I'm going to make this year for this NFL upcoming season. But we got to start you off, actually, with your Dolphins, the team that mm-hmm. you cover now and talk about religiously. They have a heck of a roster, but it all comes down to, can the quarterback stay healthy? Just what's kind of been the conversation this offseason with the Dolphins fan confidence in Tua?
That's really been the issue, is whether he could stay healthy. But look, I would say this. You know what kind of unlucky you have to be to get the concussion the way he got them? You know, and from that standpoint, it's unfortunate, you know, serious, but unfortunate situation that he got two or three concussions last year. I was in a very similar situation. In fact, if you remember, I want to say last year, Bill Belichick talking about he had a guy who was cleared to play but had a concussion and he sat him out. I was that guy. And so it's a difficult thing to go through. I really don't think anybody understands what a player goes through when that happens. Neither does the player, right? And it's unfortunate that it happened to him, but, you know, I played 8 more years after that, you know, so going through it and understanding what I went through and understanding just like, man, yeah, falling down, you know, hey, how about not making it feel so hard, you know, and not playing on that rock turf? You know, nobody ever says that, but I think it all depends on his health. I will say this, the scheduling didn't do the Dolphins any favors. Think about this, Zach. They're on the road the first 2 weeks. They go to L.A., and then they go to New England, and then they have to play in Germany. So that's 3 away games right there. You don't play a home game till your third week. So if you get through, you know, the first couple of weeks looking pretty good, I'm guessing of the next 15 games, you're going to play a majority of them at home, and you're going to feel pretty good about, you know, playing that schedule at home.
And the other thing, too, Leroy Horde, when you look at Tua, you know he's going to be held to a different standard because of how public this was and also the mm-hmm. previous history, too. Like, if he gets a concussion, I think it's going to be a while until we see him back on a football field.
Well, you can't predetermine health. Right, and I say that for this reason. if he does get a concussion, you can only treat that at the time. You can't say, oh, he had two last year or whatever. And I get that's what people want to do. But if he's healthy and he's cleared, if he chooses to play, right, then you play. That's the nature of what we do. It's a dangerous sport. The only way you can stop it is stop hitting. How many people want to watch football if there's no contact? That's the nature of the beast. I do understand the concerns that everybody has for Tua. I do understand the severity of concussions. I understand what players go through when they get concussions. Sometimes it's a very scary thing as a player, not watching somebody else, if you go through it, because there's certain things that you're unsure of. But if you have the right medical staff and you go through the process, you know, at some point, if it continues to happen over and over again, you got to make a much larger decision. But you can't treat an injury or a concussion like, okay, he had two last year, but that means that, you know, we have to be more careful with this one. Like, I get that's what people want to do. When you're cleared, you're cleared.
Leroy Horde here with us. When you look at the rest of the AFC East, I'll put New England in that fourth spot. How do you rank them 1, 2, and 3 when you look at the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins?
I'm going to give it to the Bills, but I certainly have questions about what the hell Josh Allen is talking about, right? I need to be more of a pocket passer or whatever. I think he was given a gift, and you have to play and use that gift to win football games. And that is that maybe you select how you run, but nobody's afraid of Josh Allen sitting in the pocket. It's the other stuff in combination with his ability to throw the ball that makes him terrifying. If you eliminate one of those things, I don't think you're doing yourself any favors. I'm going to give it to the Bills, even though I have questions about, you know, about that. I'm going to say the Dolphins are going to push them. I think their defense is a lot better than they played last year. I think, you know, Mike McDaniel has said there were certain times in the year where he should have committed to the run more. I mean, Zach, think about this. They had two running backs who averaged almost 5 yards a carry. That's unheard of. And so the fact that he feels that maybe they should run it a little more, I think I agree with that. That'll help the passing game that much more. You're dynamic as far as offense, as far as speed. And then you added Vic Fangio on the defensive side, who's considered a guru, and they have talent defensively. They were a little banged up last year. In the secondary, had some guys injured up front. They added Chubb in the middle of the season. So all these things are coming together defensively. I think they're going to be pretty good, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division. I'll go to Jets, and then I will say, I mean, does anybody have any faith in McCorkle? I
mean, you really have to do it. It's not him. It's a situation. That's not a good situation.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. Leroy Horde with us.
When Brian Flores was the coach, did anybody cut Tua a break? Even though it was said when he got drafted that he wasn't going to play the first year, and then he played the first year, and they held it against him? No, nobody did. So I'm not passing that. I'm not going to give anybody else a break.
But what I will say is this, Leroy. At least they got him an offensive coordinator this year. But you see Jalen Hurts take off when he gets Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. You see Tua start to look like the Tua that he could be when he gets Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. You saw Josh Allen go off when he eventually got Stephon Diggs. Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, those guys are fine, but no one really is intimidated by that receiving core. And I don't even know what Mac Jones could be, but after year one where he was fine, the Patriots have done a disservice to him.
I mean, I can't disagree with you, but if you look at how they've done things for the last 20 years, besides Randy Moss and Antonio Brown, who?
Yeah, well, they had Brady. Who? They don't have Brady anymore. They have to adjust with the times.
Again, you have to understand that sometimes people's mentality, think about this. We just spent the last 2 or 3 years questioning whether it was Brady or Bill. Right? And so if those questions are out there, what do you think Bill's going to do? I'm going to win doing it the same way I've been doing it, just with another guy. Right?
Well, that's, it's not going to work to another Super Bowl if he doesn't go get more talent.
Okay, but okay, how long is it going to take that lesson to be learned?
When he breaks the Shula win record, and then eventually he'll walk away or something like that. I don't think he's ever going to adjust. I love Bill, but he's not going to adjust. He's stubborn. You know that.
Why would he? When they asked him, are you going to do this or this or this, what makes you think, and what did he say? 25 years.
Yeah, and that's not a Bill Belichick answer, because Bill never cares about the past with players.
Right, but are we to the point now that you're going to question what Bill Belichick does after the last 20-plus years?
I love him, but what he's doing right now doesn't build to a winner. It doesn't.
And yet, at the end of the year, you will always talk about the New England Patriots possibly going to playoffs, right?
Sure. Yeah, even with the roster construction being bad, the guy could still coach his ass off and get them to 8-10 wins, sure.
Right. So what I can't explain it. Look, there's one of the things you have to understand about coaches, and you've talked to enough of them, they are stubborn. And part of the reason why is when a coach gets fired or a coach goes to a different place, he gets into his mind, if I'm going out, I'm going out my way. And I don't blame anybody for believing that, because the Cleveland Browns ran Bill Belichick out of town. And so after that, if you look at the way he's done things since then, I'm going to do things the way I think they should be done. If you don't like it, I can live with that. But the success speaks for itself. And I think a lot of times we question what coaches do and how they do it and when they do it and who they play and who they don't play and how they, you know, Bill Belichick and running backs is like, let me tell you, no bueno. How he treats running backs, he's done it his whole career. Don't know why. I haven't asked him. But that's just one of his deals. And he's had success. He's had success doing it. And at some point, we got to say, hey, the best coach we've ever seen while we're alive, I'm going to trust it.
Before we let you run, I only got a minute left here, Leroy Horde. What are your expectations for the Browns this year?
I think it was unfair to think that Deshaun Watson was going to come in and mysteriously save the team. They had a lot of other issues. But I do see that, you know, they've improved that in certain areas. I do think that Deshaun Watson, with a full offseason and a lot of his stuff behind him where he can concentrate on football, is going to be closer to the guy we saw when he was in Houston and not the guy we saw last year. He's going to be able to work with his receivers. I think one of the things that I'm going to look forward to is this. Kevin Stefanski now has a mouthpiece in the locker room. But it works both ways. Because every coach has that guy on the team that can go to him and explain the thoughts of the players without it getting too contentious. You see what I mean? And I think that Kevin Stefanski having that guy in Deshaun Watson is not only going to help what he does, but help how the team does things. Because guess what? At the end of the day, if they don't have a successful season, Deshaun Watson going to be there. So it's in everybody's best interest to make sure that that relationship works.
Leroy Horn, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much. You're the best, my friend.
Thanks. Have a good one.
There you go. Leroy Horn joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll break. We're at halftime. The Celtics have a 7-point lead on the Philadelphia 76ers. Overreaction, proper reaction next.